Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is NFL Sunday with Jermaine Wiggins, Andy Hart, and Mark James. Broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance, with Wiggy, Hart, and James on WEEI.
Ah, this is the NFL Sunday show, coming from the Best Yet Studio here in Brighton. Along with Andy Hart, my name is Mark of the C. James, and the big star of the new Netflix documentary, A Killer Inside, the Aaron Hernandez story, Jermaine Wiggins.
No, I would say voice of reason.
Yes, that's what I would say.
You know, I'm being dead serious, and I know people may think I'm sucking up to you, whatever. The only man at the end who had the reasonable sense to say, get the out of here, blaming it all on CTE.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It kind of like Wiggy was the Michelle Carter defense, where they wanted to blame it on her medication that she was taking, why she told the guy to go back in, her ex-boyfriend to go back in. You know, it's kind of like that. I will say this, though, and I bring that, I watched, obviously, all of it. I thought it was riveting. I'm a big Netflix guy to begin with. And I thought, I said this to Hart yesterday, that Jermaine Wiggins killed it. I saw Jermaine Wiggins without Wiggy, and I'm like, Jermaine Wiggins nailed it. I liked it. I liked the
documentary, and I didn't really even realize that it was the. I remember filming this like a couple years ago because these things take time,
right?
And I didn't know, like, there's been so many documentaries come out, so I didn't know which one it was or whatever. So when it came out on Netflix, I didn't know this was the one that I had taken part in. So.
He surprised himself. He didn't know he was in it.
Well, I knew I was
That's
in
no
one.
Sane person. That's no sane person.
I knew I was in one of them, but you don't
hey,
know.
Hey, it's me. Look, I'm on TV, kids.
Right. Like, they didn't send me an email like, oh, hey, by the way, check it out. The show you're going to. So, but just, I actually thought I learned some new stuff that I didn't know going into.
I was
going to
ask
cool.
you that, which is what? What did you learn?
Well, there was always the rumors about him, you know, about his homosexuality, right? And so it was very interesting to see the relationship that he had with the kid from high school's quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was something that I had never really, like, you know, it's just a lot of speculation, a lot of stuff going on at the time and whatnot. So it was pretty interesting to see that. I think when you hear him on the phone with the many different people, whether it was his cousin.
His mother.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the phone calls with the mother to me were the most eye-opening, enlightening. You know, what do you want, Ma? I told you to give me $1 million, and he goes, get the out of here, Mom.
Right.
And then I tried to talk to you forever.
Right.
I wanted to talk to you about, and it sounds like he's alluding to the homosexuality there when he says it. It's like he doesn't come out and say it, but I wanted to tell you, you don't even know who I am. Mm-hmm. You don't even know who I am, Mom. And I thought that.
When he's like, you effed me up.
Yes. And that's what I blame. There's a lot of layers here.
Right.
But when his dad died, his mother shacked up.
Right.
That whole sister-in-law's husband.
That transition
cousins, it was the cousin that he was really good with, really had a great relationship.
To me, that was
her ex-husband. That was like,
that was the crossroads in his development that things started to go down a road that weren't going to be good.
Right, because I think a lot of people going into this, right? A lot of people, you know, going into this, if you would have said, Aaron Hernandez, right? And what do you think? A lot of people would have been like, oh, it's the environment he grew up in.
Right.
We would have all thought he was from a rough area.
Yeah.
He saw a lot of crazy stuff going on, and maybe that could have kind of played a hand into maybe his development. But he actually came from a good home.
Right.
You know, good neighborhood, a good area.
Issues. And, I mean every home has issues.
Well, everybody deals with issues. But initially you thought he was from the hood, you know, and he was dealing with a lot of
like,
crazy
doesn't
stuff.
Know where he's sleeping at night, doesn't know what he's seeing all after. No, he had a bed and a house and a mom and a dad.
Right.
Another thing I learned was how, and I didn't know this as well, he was sexually abused by somebody who babysat him.
Yeah, that's what his brother was saying.
See, that was interesting, though, because...
They didn't really get into it.
No, it comes out of nowhere, and it's a pretty big,
huge
bombshell with really no follow-up or information or details. It was just kind of thrown in there for... Because I think... I heard the, I don't know, it was the producer or the director was on the morning show the other day.
Yeah,
the Greg Hill show.
Dan Wetzel was on Greg Hill.
And
well, he was.
No, not Wetzel.
Not Wetzel. Wetzel was on Red Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the producers.
Yeah, sure.
And
Wetzel was great, too.
There is a layer of, I don't know if they attempted to paint Aaron Hernandez as a sympathetic figure, or it just happened as they started to sort of paint the picture with the various excuses, reasons, things that may play a role here. And to me, that one was just thrown in as, oh, and another thing, he may have been molested.
Right.
So that's why he may have, he's got brain damage, his dad died, his mom shacked up with the cousin's husband, he may have been molested, he's homosexual.
Right.
It's like they're just giving you all these lists of things that may have caused him to go off the rails.
I had no sympathy for him from day one, but the thing that really just, you know, the thing that really kind of just was like, all right, this is why I have no sympathy for the guy even more, is because when the phone conversations were very troubling to me, because this dude was facing, initially he was facing a homicide charge. He was facing a murder rap and life in prison. And he's like, yeah, my cell's cozy, you know. It was like no remorse there. At any point in time, you would think, like, knowing he, you know, that he did it, or had some involvement in it, right? You would think that he would, you know, say, you know what? It was just like, you know, maybe you get me a Smith & Wesson endorsement.
There was no
sympathy there whatsoever. And that's when you...
It just looked how perfect my cell looked.
Wow. Yeah. And you know another thing, too, was when...
That's when I knew he was a Stone Cold Killer.
Cuckoo. Yeah. My grandmother used to have one of those clocks where the little bird popped out and went, cuckoo, cuckoo. That's one off in my head when you watch this. He's nuts.
You know, obviously the thing you can trace back to his dad dying and how that changed everything. And but there was, who knew? Who knew that, like, it was more important for him to, as one of the guys put it, who played with Odin Lloyd on the semi-pro team.
Yeah, that kid Mike Massey.
The star.
I played against him in high school.
To me, he was the star. Yes. Sorry to you, Wiggy, but you played with him in high school?
I played against him in high school. Oh. Went to English high school. He was a really, really talented football player from the neighborhood. And so, I thought the thing that he said that really hit home, he does like yoga now. He's like a yoga instructor now. The thing that he said, he ultimately was trying to be a fake gangster, but he goes, he's trying to live in this world and live in this world, but sooner or later...
Yep, they collide. There's only one of you. You can't keep both happy.
Right.
And that... Can I ask you a question? So you know him, Massey?
Yes.
How good was he at football? Why didn't he go anywhere?
He was a very, very good football. He was a running back at English High School in Boston. He's just a little small, you know what I mean? And that, I think ultimately, you know, I think he might have been a year behind me, I want to say. But I think ultimately, you know, I mean, how many kids really make it from Boston?
The story he told about being in the apartment building, somebody holds a gun to his throat, and then they realize, oh, you're the kid I watched in that semi-pro game or whatever. You rush for 100 yards. Hey, go ahead.
Yeah.
You're the football player. I like you.
Yeah, he was from
So could he have played college football?
I think he might have been able to. You know, he was one of those kids, like a lot of kids growing up in the area, that you know, there's a lot of stuff going around you, right? And sports was a way out for a lot of us, and sports was, you know, definitely an opportunity, you know, not just for myself, but many kids that grew up in this area. And he was very talented. I mean, he was like legit in high school.
Right. Wow. You know, one thing I also realized as well, and I think a lot of people know this, had Aaron Hernandez hired Jose Baez for the first case, he might have gotten off.
I don't know. There was a lot of evidence. Baez,
You
would have had a better chance.
Right. Yeah.
But I think there was a lot of evidence.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's
when they started to really piece that together show you the various.
A couple of things, too, also stood out. First of all, Shiana Jenkins, bless her heart, she's a ride or die woman.
Yeah, now you can't say that,
Why?
Right? Because She's an accomplice.
Oh, yeah, she was.
To a murder. Mm-hmm.
She took out the bag.
Oh, yeah, she got rid of the... Where'd you put it? I don't remember.
Right, I mean, like, so ride or die means now her daughter's going to grow up without a father because she couldn't maybe get
to... But her daughter was going to grow up without a father.
Yeah, but she might have grew up without a father in a different sense if she could have got him to understand what he did and maybe, you know, ultimately been in there. And he was probably never going to get out, but... He could have maybe did something positive with his life that maybe his daughter might have been proud of down the road,
right,
and said, you know what? Hey, my dad's locked away for life. He made a horrible mistake, decision, and he was able to ultimately change his life, and I could still go see him.
Right.
You know, that to me is ultimately what she could have done if she, but, you know, she was like a lot of other people. They enabled him to do what he ultimately did, and you know she's no better than him.
But it's also one of those things. You're in that situation. You don't know what you're gonna do.
Right, exactly. You know? She was the only one at the second trial who was there.
But Owen Lloyd was her sister's boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation. I always try to think of these things
as if you were in the situation,
or you know, if my kid came home and said, "Dad, I killed somebody."
Right.
Right in that moment, what are you doing? Do you call the cops or do you call a buddy and say, "I need help, we got to cover this up"? Like, and you make that decision.
Right.
And once you go down one of those roads,
right,
which road did you go down and why?
I understand that, and I understand that element of it. And, you know, it's who knows what we would do if, like you said, we're in that situation with loved ones. But I think at the end of the day, you know, in that world, world that they were in, She knew Odin Lloyd. She knew that her sister was in love with Odin Lloyd. Like, so she knew that there was like this relationship between all of them. And so rather than maybe going like, you know, trying to get him to understand what he did wrong, knowing that ultimately it was headed in the wrong direction anyways.
Right. But if I'm her, you're looking at he's already dead. I can't bring him back. That's awful.
No. But you might be able to.
But I can keep my guy out of prison. And that's my focus. No need for two people to be gone forever.
Yeah.
If I can save one. I'm not excusing it. I'm just
saying. I know what you're saying.
When you get in that, that's a life-changing.
Right.
You got a few seconds to make a decision. What do I do?
Yeah.
And it's like at the end when your guy was talking about him hanging himself and saying, you know, he made a decision for his kid. Like, he thought he was making a decision for his kid, and we would all do it. Would I give my life for my kid? And he said, "Massey, damn right I would."
Right.
Right. Like, you make these decisions, and...
But here's the thing, though. You wonder, and I do believe he did it for his daughter, and I feel bad for her the worst.
She's the one that sympathy for.
And Odin Lloyd's family. And the two others' family. Those guys. Like,
well, that would be an unsolved murder probably no one's going to do any time for.
Yeah, so you feel sorry for them, because that's that. I will just say that, you know, you're talking about Shiana Jenkins, and we're talking about, you know, his daughter, Aaron Hernandez's daughter. I mean, you just got to wonder that, you know, this is something that she's going to have to grow up with. And, you know, obviously her mom's going to explain to her, here's what happened. But the weird thing to me, and you were talking about, like, about Aaron Hernandez, he seemed like he was more concerned because something that happened on this station, on the former morning show with Kirk and Callahan, when the insinuation came out and Michelle McPhee was on here about his homosexuality, that seemed to break him more than doing life in prison.
Right. But I don't think that was it, because I think
it happened 2 days after.
Yeah, though. But I think it was ultimately what Andy said, and I think it was ultimately
the abatement law.
Yes, I think that was more it than anything, because in the letter that the suicide letter, he says at the end of it, like,
"You're rich.
You're rich."
Yeah. Underline,
you're rich. So I think there was some way that somebody in there might have said, "Hey, listen, if you die or you're dead, you're appealing your case, you'll die an innocent man." And then that might be an easier way for her to ultimately get the money that the Patriots had owed him, or the whatever, that kind of thing. So I think that's what he kind of looked at and goes, okay, I'm never getting out again. And what I can maybe potentially do is take my own life and ultimately have them set up for a long time.
Right.
But it ultimately ended up backfiring on him because
they changed the law. So he became the reason they changed the law, because Odin Lloyd's mother went after it and helped push that through. Yeah, I think there was a lot going on there. And I found his druggy friend.
The Alexander.
No. The white guy that had done some time in the same prison. Chubby guy.
Yeah.
Was a little weird. Looked like he's still doing something, right. Or was a little off.
The one that was in like a holding tank.
Yeah, that guy.
And then analyzing his emotions when he gets off for the two other murders.
Right.
And he actually shows emotion for the first time. Aaron Hernandez shows emotion, cries, waves. Right. And he took that as sort of that idea that, okay, I got off from that one. Does he realize that now there's only one?
Right.
And if I can get that vacated through this law by killing myself, the money, the fine. Because if he had done that one now,
right,
there's a lot going on.
Right. And I think
so now there was like a simple Hail Mary.
Right.
Like, this is my Hail Mary. Kill myself. My daughter's okay.
Right.
They get money. They're rich. So there was a lot going on.
And I think that was ultimately why he ultimately took his own life is because of that. Because
I'm sure the homosexuality going public potentially didn't hurt. Because he's been covering that up for 27 years or whatever it was. I'm sure there was a little emotional, maybe last kick in the butt. Yeah, okay.
But I think, I think at that time, you're doing life in jail, you could kind of care less. You know what I mean? Your focus is on how can I take care of my fiance and my daughter, right?
And really his daughter. Like he said that, the only thing I miss is my daughter.
Right, so how can you ultimately take care of your daughter, right? And the thing that we know is that with that abatement law, if he's in appeal and he happens to die, he ultimately now dies as a free man. And then that might be easier. And we don't know. The Crafts probably still would have probably fought it or whatever.
Right.
But in his mind, he's thinking, okay, if I die, that's how my daughter's able to get this money. So let me just take my own life. Let me write my letters. Let me put on there, you're rich. And I think that's what he did, thinking that would help him. And you know, luckily, Odin Lloyd's mother fought it and kept fighting it,
sure.
And it ultimately overturned it. So he ultimately now, you know, wouldn't be able to die an innocent man.
You know, it's weird. After the Patriots beat the Broncos in a playoff game, and you know, Tom Brady and Tim Tebow, the microphones are on them at midfield.
Yep.
And Brady goes, "Yeah, I'm looking at keeping after and looking out for Brandon and Aaron, Brandon Spikes and Aaron Hernandez." And then Tebow goes, "Yeah, Brandon's a really good guy."
Yeah,
he didn't say it about Aaron.
Well, because I said this to you yesterday, like lumping Spikes in with Hernandez. Spikes made some typical mistakes,
little
dumb things,
whatever.
I mean, talking about a guy who murdered multiple people. You're talking about a whole nother level.
Yes,
you know, unique in and of himself. I mean, there's very. What were we talking about? Ray Carruth?
Yep.
Ray Lewis? Maybe.
He didn't do anything. He was at the scene when something happened.
Ray Lewis.
At the very least.
But Ray Lewis is ultimately, in this situation, he's the role of Shania Jenkins played.
Yeah, right.
Fair enough.
At best.
We don't know what happened, but ultimately.
And he burned the white suit. He did.
Right.
Allegedly.
So, you know, there's very few.
Yeah.
Examples that are anywhere close to Aaron Hernandez.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I think just Ray Lewis got caught up with the wrong people, and then after that whole thing happened, he realized, I got to stop this, and then he became the face of the NFL. For Aaron Hernandez, he literally just turned into a gangster. He
freaked out.
But
he clearly went off the rails and became paranoid.
Right.
And the whole, you know, the Wallace and the other guy the low-level thugs around him that he wanted to protect him.
From Alexander Bradley.
And getting the other apartment.
Right, and we ultimately don't know why. I think they kind of showed us a little bit with the Bradley guy, why ultimately the double homicide happened, right? Just spilling a drink and ultimately two people lose their lives over that, which is stupid. But we know what happened in that case. Grant, now no one's doing no jail time for it and anything. The Odin Lloyd murder, we don't know why he did it. You know,
there was a thought that Odin Lloyd had found out that he was homosexual.
But there was also reports that he might have found out about the double homicide.
Right. Ooh, and made some wisecrack or just mentioned it.
Yeah.
And now, like,
right. So if you're
got to clean it up.
And
gotta, you know, loose ends.
You know what else did him in, too? his security camera footage at home.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things.
He was one of the worst criminals ever.
Right.
As dumb as they come.
Yeah, even Dan Wetzel's like, you know, this wasn't some high-level crime.
How many places could he have killed him between when he picked him up in Boston and his house that weren't right down the street from his house?
Right.
Like, what are you doing? You're bringing him to your house to murder somebody?
Right.
Usually you want to get as far away as possible.
Sure. Right.
And because you know once the police ultimately they find out who they're able to ID who the victim is and then figure out, try to, you know, put some pieces together on how he might have got there. And then there's the text message from Odin Lloyd to Odin Lloyd's girlfriend with NFL. Yep. I mean, you know that there's a relationship. So Odin Lloyd's coming back to you, Hernandez.
Right.
The police are coming to your door.
One way or the other.
Even if it's just to ask you questions.
And now they're coming to your door because, well, they're only a mile down the street where they found the body.
Right.
It just starts to tie the puzzle together
and
much easier.
And you pick them up at 2:30 in the morning because of the surveillance camera in front of Odin Lloyd's home. He gets into your car, it's just like...
And, I mean, we all learned along the way, not that I was ever planning on committing a crime, but, like, the cell phone towers, how they trace you step by step.
Oh, Jesus.
He went in here and he bought the cotton candy bubble gum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he spit it out. Holy crap.
Yeah, but not only the cell phone towers, dude, it's just the Big Brother everywhere on the streets. Like,
That's why if you're going to do it, deep sea fishing.
Well, here
get out in the water. There's no cameras out in the water. But
remind me, where did they find the gun that killed Odin Lloyd?
They never found it.
No, they didn't. They looked around everywhere. They were in those ponds.
That's where it was interesting because I can't remember if, you know, somebody might have said this. I think maybe when I was on the Greg Hill show, might have been a caller or him. If you live in a neighborhood like that, you have a trash company that comes and picks up your trash from the end of your driveway.
Yep.
Why do you need to now take a trash bag, and drive around looking for dumpsters to get rid of something that you can just put on the end of your curb when it's trash day?
And so you
start to think like, okay.
Yeah, this wasn't the Latanza heist in Goodfellas.
No.
No. But you know, the thing I found most interesting was that I found it interesting. Mm-hmm. Having lived it, I still found it interesting. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, I saw all this. I knew all this. I was there. I was at the news.
I think it was the phone calls that
the phone calls were the best part.
That really.
And I heard the guy say that once they got those prison phone calls, that added a lot of flavor and layers to it. And then some of the other guys, Massey was great.
Right.
The high school boyfriend, and really the high school boyfriend's father was very dramatic.
Oh, right.
Telling the whole story and talking about that he didn't even find out about his own kid until Hernandez died, and then people started saying he was a homosexual, and the son finally...
And here's the thing. People can say what they want now about, you know, Aaron Hernandez's dad, Dennis. Listen, these are old school guys. These are old school guys like that. These guys, and granted, what's acceptable now was not acceptable then.
Plus, it's a scoreboard mentality.
Yeah.
Oh, he ended up a serial killer? You must have screwed him up. Whereas, not that I'm comparing, but we hear so much about Julian Edelman's dad.
Right.
How hard he was on him, how tough he was.
Right.
You know, he'd come home from games and mom was the one that was like, good game. And dad is like, what happened in the third quarter on that third down? Like, well, he turned out to be a great, hardworking, lunch pail kind of player.
That was the thing that when they said the CTE thing, that was the thing that I was like, because at the end of the day,
you have CTE, right?
Well, I mean, who knows?
I think we all have CTE. I mean, that's my theory.
Anybody who's played,
ever hit your head?
Yeah.
You ever fall down on the playground? You have CTE.
And I had said that. I said anybody who played football, you don't have to be a professional athlete.
Right.
Anybody who's played football, whether it was high school and college, but the thing that I had said is once you start using things as an excuse or a cop-out to why you did things, that's when we go down this very slippery slope because there are thousands of guys that played in the NFL, just played football, period. There are thousands of kids that have grown up without parents
or
their parents have passed away when they were teenagers and didn't resort to ultimately violence.
Adrian Peterson's, not that he's a great example, but his dad went to prison when he was young.
There's also, he didn't end up a murderer.
There's thousands of murderers
who didn't play football.
Right.
So what's their excuse? They didn't have CTE.
Right.
Or maybe some did from other issues.
I think at the end of the day, you ultimately make the choice. You know the difference between right and wrong.
Or you don't, and you were born that way. You were bleeped up, like you got the wires don't connect some. Because I firmly believe there's some people that are born crazy, just like there's animals that are born crazy. You watch some of these things on National Geographic and the one rogue lion that doesn't act like the other lions. Well, what's his excuse? Did he play football? No, he was born different, wired different.
Some people are wired that way.
Because we've all seen, like you, when you're growing up, you're young when you realize, that kid's nuts. That kid's got a short. You know, like you're on the playground you and see, he flips out and starts and you're like,
you could
holy crap,
see the behavior at a very young age.
Like what's the excuse there? He's 8 years old. Nothing's happened yet.
Like this kid might need some help.
Right.
You could see that at when you know, you could see that.
And that's not to say head injuries, CTE can't add to it or give people some emotional issues or behavioral issues.
Some people are just born and they're wired differently.
Right.
You know, you see it all the time.
All right, so this is the NFL Sunday Show, of course, as you well know. We are presented by Kaplansky Insurance, coming to you live from the Best Yet Studio in Brighton. And now it's time for...
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.TV. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.TV to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to NFL Sunday with Wiggy, Hart, and James on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, now you want to talk about Tom Brady, right? What was he
His opinion of
the fight. Oh, how would you not like the fight? I thought when she asked me the question earlier, I thought you guys were going to ask me, hey, Tom Brady was here. Davis was here. I saw them talking. What's going on? Are you guys Las Vegans or what? Come on, man. If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here. All right?
Dana White, the commissioner of UFC, talking about Tom Brady, who was there talking to...
As long as he plays for the Celtics or the Bruins.
Mark with a K Davis last night, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, who was at the fight last night between McGregor and Cerrone. And it didn't last long, but Brady's a big fight fan, and he was enjoying Vegas. And I'm sure Mark Davis was probably giving him his pitch about how great he would be on the team.
Did you see they announced him when it was like Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, I saw that.
Nothing. Baker Mayfield, yeah. Miles Garrett. Yep. And then they introduced Brady, and you got a pretty loud ovation.
Yeah.
He's the only one that really got to know. He is on a different level.
He really just is.
I got to ask you a question, though, Wiggy. Because did you see the video of him walking in? It was almost like his Gillette video. Like he's walking into the tunnel under the T-Mobile Arena or whatever. And he's just by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is he by himself?
Yeah, he wasn't with anybody.
Like, I wouldn't, and I think he sat with Plank, the Under Armour guy who started Under Armour. They're tight. He's a big Under Armour guy. But, like, he didn't have any...
Entourage.
Entourage. Yeah. Not even, you know, anybody with him.
Well, because he probably...
Friends? Somebody?
He was probably meeting some people there.
That's weird, though. I think I have a... I would never do that.
See, I
don't care if I'm Tom Brady or I'm the lowest. I don't go places alone.
Why?
I don't know.
You're just paranoid. That's why you...
And like Hernandez.
I need
a couple people. No, I just wouldn't do it.
I bet he was just there. I mean, clearly he was there probably by himself in the sense that he went to the fight without his wife. And, you know, he's probably like, all right, I'll meet you at the arena. And he jumps in a car, drives him to wherever the back entrance is, and he walks in.
Yeah, I would never do it. I just wouldn't go someplace. I'd even, like, if I knew Baker was going. They did a commercial together. They supposedly have a little bit of a relationship. I'd be like, hey, Baker, you go.
What time you heading over there?
Yeah, yes. Like, I wouldn't go by myself. Yeah, I would meet somebody, anybody.
So it's interesting that Andy needs an entourage.
I do. I need, like, I don't know if it's social anxiety, if it's, like.
You need a crew.
I saw him at the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, Brady, and I think he was there with people.
Well, he may have been, but last night he was with nobody until he sat down. He was with Plank.
Yeah, so.
And he obviously rubbed elbows with Dana White. They talked for a little bit. But I would
No big deal.
And he's Tom Brady. He's got a million friends.
He
associates.
Might have been like, hey, what time you headed down there? Like, yeah, I'm headed down there at, you know, 7. All right, well, I got to take care of some business. I'll meet up with you.
Can you pick me up in the lobby? I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go by myself. But, you know, that's why I'm not Tom Brady, I guess. One of the many, many reasons.
Kevin Plank, though, he stepped down. He's no longer with Under Armour.
What do you mean?
He stepped down as CEO. He's gone.
The company he started, he no longer is part of?
Yeah, October of last year. He's out.
Really?
Yeah, he's done. They made changes. He stepped back from the position. He was replaced by somebody else in October of last year. And
maybe running it, but he's not even the majority shareholder or anything. I mean, it was his company. Well, he started it out of the back of his car.
If he did, there would probably be a headline that said he sold this company to somebody else.
I think
he might have just stepped down as the CEO of the company.
Because that's one of those things. If the profits are down, they need to make changes at the board, you're out. It's like Elon Musk every once in a while. I don't even know if he's still running Tesla. He's in and out. He does something crazy.
I just know he got a lot of money.
Right.
You know what happened? He for public relations purposes or whatever, he was dragged into politics and public disagreements with President Trump, and Plank defended Baltimore and all this stuff. But they have somebody else to be the CEO.
Oh, okay.
But he should still. I guess
he must still be the majority owner.
I could see that. I could see the headquarters of Under Armour is in Baltimore.
It's moved.
Oh, it started in Baltimore.
It started
as a Baltimore company.
Oh, yeah.
Trump had those things to say, and if he aligned himself, the board people say, hey, listen, it's not a good look if you're still CEO.
All right, so here we are on Championship Sunday for the first time in 9 years, and the New England Patriots are not playing.
Right.
Why?
Ah, God.
How did this get to this point that we are here?
Wow.
I mean, literally.
didn't throw you a softball.
No, not at all. And like I said, before the season, no, not even before the season.
Mm-hmm.
8-0. I told you, at 8-0, this team would have back-to-back home losses to Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins as a 15.5-point favorite. And then in the wild card weekend that they're going to be playing on for the first time in a decade, and they're going to lose to Ryan Tannehill and the Titans.
Well, I think it would be a lot of things that you would say, right? If you're going to really go say, all right, how did we get here? First things first, defensively, you weren't able to make a stop against the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Right? So that's the first thing we throw on the table.
Boogeyman.
You weren't able to get, you're up by four with, 3 minutes to go, and you in the fourth quarter, you're not able to make a stop. Second reason is, it's first and goal from the 1 yard line.
Yep.
Can't score a touchdown.
Yeah, it's bad.
Score a touchdown, you probably win that football game. You're not able to score, but guess what? You're able to survive that. Now it's 3rd and 6. Julian Edelman drops a ball that hits him right in the hands, which you throw him that pass 100 times, he probably catches 100. So now that's the next one. And then the last one is it's 3rd and 8, and you give up a first down to, the backup tight end. What's his name? Fisker. And
Firkser,
whatever. Yeah, it is.
By the way, it's weird.
That guy is gonna. Good luck to him and his name.
Well, I know his name is in
Firkser.
It's not Kelsey.
I know it's not Kelsey. I know it's not Kittle.
Right.
I know it's not Gonzalez.
Cook.
Yeah.
Even Ricky Snails Jones. Right. It's not even Ricky Snails Jones.
Can I summarize it even?
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, a few less words.
Yeah. Finish it up there.
You weren't that good. That's how I feel. And we've talked about this.
But you still
have
opportunities.
No,
though,
you
right?
had opportunity to steal things. But in my opinion, you weren't that good.
Okay.
And we started to see signs of that along the way. I think one of the first people who told us that was the guy we're talking about at the UFC fight last night, Tom Brady. He knew they weren't good enough offensively along the way. He was telling you, there were quotes along the way, week 8, week 9, week 10. The bar we've set and trying to live up to that. We're not at that right now. And sometimes things that are good, he used the phrase good enough now aren't good enough when the season's on the line. That was the reality.
I think if you're going to, that would be the headline. But if you read into the story.
There's all kinds of details. Right. Detail. Now, I would put it on. We've had this argument. I put it all on the defense. You were the boogeyman. You were the one that was leading the way to victory.
Right.
Remember early in the year, there were all those numbers. If the Patriots offense never even took the field, they would have been like 4-2 after 6. They were scoring points and doing everything and printing T-shirts and all of that. And then the season was on the line twice, 2 weeks. Once, you got to go 75 yards, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Brady gave me
a 4-point lead.
Okay. Yep.
So you can even kick a field goal. I still win.
Okay. Yeah.
And you couldn't stop that offense.
That to me is the reason why they're not playing today.
That drive, allowing
that 75
King
yards.
Henry just took you
over. Yeah, but
over,
even the next
his
week,
way
right,
with you.
You only allowed them 14
That's
points.
That's fine. That was a game. What did Ray Lewis used to tell his 2,000 Ravens? Get me a field goal and the game's over. Okay. Right? You want it to be. Willie McGinnis said this was the best Patriots defense ever. I read so many stories comparing it to the Ravens and the Bears.
So your point is you're that good, hold them to less than 14.
If you are that good, we found out you weren't.
No.
That was fraudulently built in performances against Luke Falk and Baker Mayfield and all these guys. Sam Darnold seeing ghosts.
But you don't think 14 points is still enough in that game?
I mean, the other team, like, that's the game you play.
Right.
If you're going to be the jump on my back, boys, we're the defense, we're winning, then whatever it takes, right? Yep. I know Bill came out of the game.
No. Here it is. Here we go.
Bill, offensively, how would you sum what went wrong for your group today?
We just didn't make enough plays. We had some opportunities and just weren't able to score enough points. 13 wasn't enough.
Which it wasn't.
It wasn't. And that to me.
You had first and goal from the 1 yard line.
Yep.
And you come away with 3 points. You score a touchdown there, you win that football game.
So who's the better defense on the field in that game?
The Titans.
Who should have been the better defense? Who,
oh, you're saying before the game?
Yeah.
The Patriots.
So the Patriots are the one that needs to have a goal line stand. So if the Titans kick a field goal and it's not 14, you win 13-10.
Okay.
Right?
But you weren't
That's my point.
You weren't able
You were the
make
big
that,
bad boogeyman.
You weren't
right?
able to
Why?
Make that
Because you
stand.
Weren't that good.
You
I counted on you
stand.
To be that good.
Because the Titans did have a
it's like
first
the
and goal from
Super
whatever.
Super Bowl 42.
Right.
You gave up the points to Plaxico Burress, right? The defense gave up those points. The offense lost that game. The offense is the reason you're there. The offense is the reason you're undefeated. You
yeah,
didn't do your job.
Wait, what about the drive? Tyree. That was Rodney Harrison.
Right. But you're the greatest offense in the history of the game. You rewrote the record books. How many points you have?
But can't you make the argument?
14.
But can't
right. I'm sorry. I counted on you all year to score more than that.
But
I count on you in the last game to score more than that.
Plus with Moss, Welker, and Stallworth.
It's all expectations.
But can't you make the argument in that game that the Patriots gave the defense the lead that they needed, very similar to Miami.
Sure.
They had to go to length of the field, and they had I think they had a score touchdown, right?
Yeah, it was 14-10, right?
Was it 14-10?
Yep.
Yeah. So they had to go to length of the field and score a touchdown. So now, granted, their offense didn't play
at all.
The
if
way
it's
that,
28-10 there,
but
go ahead, score, because we win.
Score your points. Tom Brady left the field throwing a touchdown to Randy Moss, and then he left the field with
That's
a chance for them to win the game.
He left it. It was very similar to Miami.
Yep. Right.
At the end of the game, the offense.
But the only difference is you weren't playing a potentially, and I say these words loosely, a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, Miami had nothing but pride to play for. The Giants at least had a Super Bowl to win.
Well, no. I mean, regardless. But Andy's point is it doesn't matter who you're playing against. If your offense, which they were that year, was hanging up 31 points on everybody, and you can only score. At that time, they only scored, 14 points?
Right. I'm sorry.
That's more on the offense than it, regardless if you have the lead with 2 minutes to go.
Right. Bill always tells us you maximize your strengths, you cover up your weaknesses, right? Your strengths in 07 were your offense. I need you to score points. We outscore people as much as anything. This year, your strength was your defense. So I don't know what the number's going to be, but I need you guys to hold the other team to less than whatever we score.
I have a question for both of you guys and the audience coming up next. 617-779-7937. And if you look back for me as a microcosm of the season, the thing that was heralded so much in the first 8 games was the defense. And then with a 4-point lead against the Dolphins with 3:53 to go, you let Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it wasn't one big play to Devontae Parker.
No.
It was a sustained 6 first down, 13 play drive that ate up the clock, and that to me was the season. NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Wiggy, Hart, and James. We'll get to your calls at 617-779-7937. And I have a question for both of you next, and I want to answer as well. If the Patriots had something, why they would be playing on their 9th straight championship Sunday.
You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
We're one of 12 teams in the playoffs. We have a chance to go on a revenge tour, and what better way to start off with Tennessee, who we lost to last year.
Oh, do we have the Logan Ryan ether to that? Because that's the thing that you really want to hear. When Logan Ryan, after the game, I thought, cut a promo that the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper and Dusty Rhodes would have been blushing. When Logan Ryan's promo about, hey, your revenge tour, it ended early.
Yeah.
It ended real early.
Just play ball, Kyle.
Yeah, just
play ball.
Just play ball.
I got Kyle Van Noy on a revenge tour. Just play ball, Kyle. Like, you know, I'm sure you're going to see this.
He went to Hyenas.
Yeah, he went to Hyenas, and he's on a revenge tour. Why not start the Titans? And Kyle Van Noy is running his mouth, giving us bulletin board material about his revenge tour. His revenge tour ended early.
But wasn't Brady the hyena guy,
yes,
though?
That's where Logan Ryan contradicted himself. He said in part of that clip, you don't see Brady doing that. You don't see... Well, no, the hyena was Brady's video. They were actually jackals, I think, in the video, but it's the lion and the jackals.
Oh, okay.
And that, But Kyle Van Noy took the brunt of it.
That's the problem, man.
Because I don't think Logan Ryan's going to go after Tom Brady. I don't think he's
And not Gillylock.
No.
I like Gillylock. I like that name.
Problem is when you start talking trash, it can come back to bite you in the butt if you don't go out there and take care of business.
That's why the Titans are doing it the old school Patriot way. You talk trash after the game. After you win, then you talk trash.
You remember? There was a guy. There was a guy that talked trash about Tom Brady in 07, I want to say. His name was Anthony Smith.
Yep.
He was a corner with the Steelers.
Yeah, we know that one.
And then after the game, Belichick goes, I certainly put a lot better corners than that guy. And just, I mean, ended his career. That was you never heard of anything about Anthony Smith after that. All right, here's the question I have for the audience at 617-779-7937. Wiggy, I'm going to start with you. Four questions, yes or no, and then we will elaborate.
Oh. Four questions.
Four questions.
Yes or no.
Yes or no, and then we will all elaborate after that. So yes or no. Like, you're on the stand as if,
you ever been on the stand, Wiggy?
I'm going to have the right to
plead the Fifth Amendment. Yeah, I got you. I got you. All right. Would the Patriots be playing today if Tom Brady had Kansas City's offense?
Yes.
Would the Patriots be playing today if Tom Brady had Green Bay's offense?
Yes.
Would the Patriots be playing today if Tom Brady had San Francisco's offense?
Yes.
Lead the witness. Let him answer first. Hey, would the Patriots be playing today if they had Tennessee's offense? And Derrick Henry. Okay. Andy Hart.
Yes.
Don't
count that one. That was just, I was ready. I'm ready. Okay.
That's his name.
Yes.
I'm
Jose
Baez.
Indeed.
I'm a Jose Baez here. All right. Would the Patriots be playing today if they had Kansas City's offense?
Yes.
Would the Patriots be playing today if they had Green Bay's offense?
Yes.
Okay.
That one I'm a little lukewarm on.
All right. Well, Aaron Jones did 19 touchdowns.
I know.
All right. Would the Patriots be playing today if they had San Francisco's offense?
Yes.
And would they be playing today if they had Tennessee's offense?
Maybe.
All right, well, that's a maybe.
A second. Is maybe a choice him?
Yeah, I know. It's yes or no.
I'm going to say no.
Well, you're wrong. Okay, you're wrong.
There we go.
Thank you, John.
I would say yes because of Derrick Henry.
That's it. Yeah.
Maybe, but part of their offense was what? Brown. A.J. Brown having a massive rookie year.
Yes.
And we have the questions as to whether Brady would have let him had a massive rookie year or would have been mad at him and blackballed him and not thrown him the ball and looked for old guys.
So were you a yes or no on the Tennessee Titans?
That was a maybe.
But it's got to be one or the other. From a jury.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. He said no. He said, I'm going to say yes to all four.
All right.
And here's why. Because you gave Brady, no superstar in sports has been more underserved and put in a position to fail and not succeed this year. Not last year. This year than Tom Brady. And I'm talking Mike Trout.
Right.
I'm talking when Chris Paul was with the Clippers.
Right.
This is LeBron last year with the Lakers. But they fixed it because they got Anthony Davis. So they fixed it.
I would say this, that they tried.
They did try.
Correct.
They swung and they missed.
They had a plan.
Right.
But the plan fell apart.
Unfortunately, N'Keal Harry didn't turn out to be A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf or
Debo Samuel.
So, but that's not on. Is it on them? I don't really know. It's just a swing and a miss, right?
Well, I think we can all agree upon that, you know, cutting. And I know.
Well, I know the A.B. part of it.
The A.B. thing.
You guys still want A.B.
We're saying where
even Drew Rosenhaus is conditionally giving up on
him. We're saying where they swung and they missed. So they brought in A.B., which was a swing and a miss. They brought in Mohamed Sanu, which was a swing and a miss. So they tried. The problem is that the pieces that they tried with didn't pan out. And I don't necessarily throw the N'Keal Harry into it right away because you don't know. Maybe you get DK Metcalf, and he has the same year N'Keal Harry has here, and then N'Keal Harry is balling out in Seattle, and you go, well, what the hell? Why didn't they draft him?
Right. So that's my point with A.J. Brown and the Titans offense. If you give that to Brady, I don't know if A.J. Brown has the same year.
You never know what the player is going to be. So, but I would say that they at least tried.
Correct.
And
look at the 49ers. If they drafted Debo Samuel,
yes,
and it worked out. It came on the second half of the year. He's a playmaker for them.
Right.
They traded for Emmanuel Sanders, and it worked.
Right.
He's injected life into Deebo Samuel in the offense.
Right.
Now, they had more to start from. When you do all of that around a George Kittle,
that's
unique. But their two decisions, their two big decisions, the receiver they drafted in the second round and the guy they traded for, both worked out, whereas you did the exact same thing, and neither worked out.
Right, and you try to make a run at Adam Humphries, and that didn't work out. So, I mean, ultimately, I don't necessarily blame them for not trying. They swung and they missed all three pitches.
Correct. And I would even add to that Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn. You drafted those guys a year ago.
Yep. Mm.
First round picks. You put them with a veteran quarterback. That's great. Okay. He's got his work.
Yep.
That's his Derrick Henry.
Yep.
That's his Derrick Henry right there. No, it isn't.
Swing and miss.
Right.
He's not even Nick Chubb.
Well, I was going to say, okay, so here's the bonus question. Would the Patriots be playing today? Now, one of the two picks, I don't think he would have seen this the light of day because of Tom Brady. Would they be playing today if they had drafted Nick Chubb?
I don't know, because who knows? Maybe Nick Chubb isn't Nick Chubb here. But that's the thing.
Does Cleveland have a great O-line?
Yeah, but I don't.
No.
I would always say you never know what you're getting when you draft a guy, right?
Right.
You know, when you look at it, who was the better Alabama running back? Josh Jacobs or
Damien Harris?
Damien Harris.
Well, so we don't know.
When they went to Alabama,
Damien Harris.
Yep. Right. So nobody would have known that.
Now he watches games from the press box with me.
Right. But
little booth with a buffet where the inactives are.
Right. So you don't know. The draft is it's something that's like it's so hit or miss. But as long as you're trying, I can't fault you for that. Now I might have to just say, oh, man, you're
Wiggy, the little league coach here.
I know.
As long as you're trying. If you're giving me effort, boys, nice job, Bill.
I mean,
we're paying you $12 million a year, but you're trying. So,
but how do you know?
Good luck.
But how do you know who the guy is, right? Just based on what they did in college.
That's
you
where
don't
I trust Bill. Like, I'm sorry, he's been in football 45 years. Mm-hmm. I pay him, what, $12 million a year was the last report,
right?
If I'm Robert Kraft.
But he's not great at drafting offensive
skills.
He has
hits and misses.
Right.
Every team has his hit and misses.
But Wiggy, the last non-bust first or second round pick was Garoppolo. Non-bust.
Yeah. I mean, we're labeling both Michelle and Wynn busts.
Or just
Harry.
Or not a verdict. Like, we'll just incomplete for now.
Right.
We don't know.
Right. TV. But I bet you could go through a lot of teams and their first round picks
but
are incomplete.
But the problem is, and I've always said this, there's no comps for Bill because no one else has a 20-year run of it. Right? This time to have success, have failure, have success, have failure.
This NFL Sunday is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com. Also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. So your thoughts on that. Tom Brady, you want to get into that? Fine, we can do that. My thing is this. This is Championship Sunday. We are sort of in uncharted territory. The first time since 2010 that the New England Patriots are not playing on Championship Sunday. That was when they lost to Mark Sanchez and Bart Scott at home.
Will they be playing on Championship Sunday next year?
Well, you asked us a question, why aren't they playing?
Yeah.
They have plenty of time themselves to figure that out over an extra month of January into February.
And
what's the plan moving forward to play on this weekend next year?
And now Bill, who's usually, and the whole team, the whole organization, who has to go 40 extra days over the previous 3 years, well, now those 40 days can be spent to, like, we got to fix this.
Blimp. Or go to Nantucket.
Or you could go to Barbados. I would. Barbados is a
boy. You're going Barbados, no, Bill.
Wait a second. But you're not going to go to Nantucket in the weather now.
Maybe, it's quiet. It's nice.
Oh, Barbados.
You can sit by the fire, have a drink,
reflect a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that. It's
Barbados.
A double.
You need to get like that comes. But here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Bill's girlfriend can't wear a bikini in Nantucket right now.
Well, maybe they have a sauna or something.
Yeah. Well, that's probably true. What is hot tub called? Eight rings, too?
Yeah, I'm sure there's. He can figure it out if he wants to. He's okay. Bill frickin' Belichick.
617-779-7937. NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Wiggy Hart, and James.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.